morning.
For both of you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would please, in your Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And when you find your place there, if you look at verse 18, and then if you'll stand to your feet as you're able to, we'll read this verse. I'll read it out loud to start off with, and then I'll ask you to join me as we read it again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. All those T books are together there. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Timothy, and Titus. And so you want to look at the front of those. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, I'll read it through the first time. You join me on the second reading. Verse 18, the Bible says this: "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Would you please read that with me and begin? "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Our Father, we do thank you for all that's happened this morning already. Lord, during the Sunday school hour, all that's going on in the children's ministries, Lord, the singing, the giving. I ask that all of it's done to your glory and as you desire. Lord, help us. But now as we come to the preaching time, I ask you to help us to keep our minds attuned to what you want. I ask you to help us to limit the distractions around us. Help us to be very careful to listen intently to your word and to the message from your man. I ask that you be with Pastor Becker. Give him wisdom as he preaches. Use him in a mighty way, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Keep your Bibles open as we look at this very familiar verse. Before I get to the preaching, I have a couple of quick things. First, turn your cell phone off or silent or whatever it may be. Throw it out the door. Whatever helps you to keep it silent, that would be a blessing. If you don't know how to do it, someone else around you might be able to help you find out how to do that, and that would be a blessing for everyone. And they are the blessing and the curse of our generation, isn't it? Amen. And then a couple of other things I wanted to mention to you. And I forgot to announce it earlier, but Miss Sandra Martin went home to be with the Lord this past Monday, I believe it was. And she had been battling with a brain tumor for a good bit of time. And as you know, her health has struggled, but she came in a wheelchair. She was here two Sundays ago and wasn't feeling well last week and passed away last Monday. And so we'll be praying for her family. Has four children, three of them are pretty young, and so would you pray for her? And the only thing I can think of when I think of Miss Sandra is praise God, and so that just keeps ringing out in my ears, and so she would not want us to be sad. She'd think, praise God, I'm in heaven now, and she is a blessing, a lady of faith that has such an encouragement to us, and she would never let you be sad around her. You better be happy or quick or you're going to be in trouble. And so she is a blessing, but thankful for heaven, but be praying for the family. The next thing is this next Sunday, we're skipping it up a week, but our annual Thanksgiving Sunday tradition is going to come a week early, but Pastor Johnson is going to be preaching for us next Sunday morning. We have been preaching to our junior church and our children's church this morning, and so they're having a time. I talked to him this morning. I said, when's the last time you taught children's church or junior church? And he said, never. And so he's filling in for us. We have a few that have been sick and out. And so I asked if he'd be willing to do that. And so they're having a great time or being tortured. I'm not sure which one it is. No, they're having a good time with that this morning. I'm so thankful for them. But he'll be preaching for us next Sunday. So I want to encourage you with something really quick. All right. Eat before you come to church next Sunday. All right. Number one, pray. You probably should pray too. But eat before you come to church. And then also get your sarcasm meter up a little high for that as well. And so we're looking forward to that. But I thank the Lord for Pastor Miss Johnson. They're faithful serving. He's preaching out almost every week. And so he's been faithful and a huge blessing and help to us. Now as we get to the message today in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give what? Thanks. It is Thanksgiving season. Can you feel it? It's coming. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We are in the thankfulness season, the Thanksgiving season. All you Christmas fanatics, I'm looking forward to Christmas, but hold on, we have 18 more days, and then it's game on. My family knows, no Christmas music until Thanksgiving is done. I want to enjoy Thanksgiving, all right? I'm not anti-Christmas, I'm pro-Thanksgiving, and I'm pro-Christmas, all right? And I walked in this morning. I've got to embarrass him. We'll embarrass him tonight as well. He's helping in a class. Today's Joel's 16th birthday. Don't tell him I told you. But we went to Dutch Bros. That was his request this morning. We went there, and I came in with a coffee cup with tea in it, all right? But it's a Christmas cup, and I went, uh-oh, I'm going to be in trouble. I'm preaching against doing this already this morning. And so I hid it so you couldn't see it. But 18 days until Thanksgiving is fully upon us. It's okay. You can start preparing now, eating, but more importantly, being thankful. And for those of you that are wondering, 46 days until Christmas, but you can wait a little bit longer. I was in a store the other day, and it's all Christmas music and decorations, and it's on and upon us. And I look forward to that as well, but not until after Thanksgiving for us. So for me and my house, we will observe Thanksgiving, all right? It's not scripture, but I'm kind of putting it in there. And so whatever you're doing with that, praise the Lord. But get ready. It's time to start prepping the pies, defrosting the turkey. Maybe not quite yet, but start thinking about it at least. Pick out the ham. Know where you're getting them. Get the table set and ready. Maybe you're getting ready for the turkey trot, or you're getting ready to eat a whole lot. I'm not sure which one. Getting your stretchy pants or stretchy skirt ready for a big meal coming up. Whatever it may be. Inviting the guests. But holiday season is upon us. And I love the holiday season. It is a blessing, other than the sickness that comes with it sometimes. But looking forward to the Thanksgiving time. And these next few weeks, we'll be looking at the subject of being thankful. And I don't think you can truly talk about being thankful enough. Thank you for the songs you picked out today, Brother James, about being thankful, about being a blessing, and everything giving thanks. Really, the theme of the songs really surrounded that today. There are some things if I'll be honest, that I'm thankful for, and there's other things that, to be honest, I'm not as thankful for in my life that I should be thankful for. You know what I'm talking about? When it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's certain things that I'm thankful for about, and I could praise God all day, every day, but there's also things that I know that God has put in my life that I'm not as thankful for that I know that I should be. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Can you be thankful for the things that you don't like in your life? Can you be thankful for the things that you would not have chosen in your life that God has placed there? Can you be thankful for everything? Now, of course, not thankful for sin or the effects of sin, of course, but thankful for the good that God has done in your life. In everything, give thanks. We know this, that thankfulness is a command from God, not a suggestion. It's a command from God for everyone in Christ Jesus concerning you. Individually, for us to be thankful, it's a command from God. And thankfulness, truly, it's an attitude that comes from the heart. To realize and understand the blessings that I have come from God. I want to ask you to turn to two different scripture verses, and we'll turn back to Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. And it's just a little bit back, just a couple books back, Philippians chapter 4. And I want to look at a couple of other verses that really echo the same thought from this text verse that we have today. Philippians 4 and verse number 6. Philippians 4, 6 says this, be careful for what? Nothing. And that means to be worried about, to be careful, to be worried, to be upset, angry, anxious about. So be careful for nothing, but in, what's the next two words? Everything, by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. You know, so many times we can be anxious, upset, and troubled about things that we're truly supposed to be thankful for, that we're supposed to be bringing them to the Lord in prayer. How much time do we waste being worried about things instead of taking that same effort and energy and turning into prayer and just trusting God for what God has placed into our lives? Are you guilty of that as well? Right? Don't leave me up here all by myself. Where we get anxious, upset, worried, what can I do? How am I going to figure this out? And where we truly need to give it to God in prayer with thanksgiving. The things that you're worried about are the things that the Bible says to bring them to the Lord with thanksgiving, letting your request be made known unto God. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 20, and we'll turn back one more book. Made it kind of easy on you. They're all pretty close to each other. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20, it says, giving thanks. What's the next word? Always. For what's the next two words after that?
Always.
For all things. Giving thanks always for all things. Again, how many of you are good at being thankful for things that you like, right? Can I get a testimony today? There's some things I like that I'm thankful for, but there's also some things that I don't like, that I don't love. And I'm talking about evil or wickedness or wrong, but some things that God has put in my life that I'm not as thankful for them because I don't like them as much as I should. The Bible says, I don't know what that was, but I'm sure it was probably good. Giving thanks always. Oh, I know what it was. I got it now. We're on the same mindset, all right? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things and everything, give thanks. I think the understanding is this, that everything that God brings into my life, I'm to be thankful for them, right? Yeah, I think the best illustration is this. You get a plate of food put in front of you, and you look and you're like, oh, I like that, and I like that. Ooh, I don't like that, right? And where do we usually direct most of our attention to? The things we don't like, don't we? They usually consume the rest of the plate. You're like, you know, I don't want my food touching, especially this yucky stuff that I don't like. But the Bible says in everything, give thanks. We need another food illustration in there somewhere. It's Thanksgiving time. We better be getting ready for that in some way. In everything, give thanks. I want to challenge you this morning about being thankful for the difficult things in life. I know it's not something that you may not go away today thinking, oh, praise the Lord for the struggles and the trials in life. But those have come through the hand of God, right? Church, those have come through the hand of God. The struggles in life, during everything, give thanks. Maybe you say, I'll be thankful for it later. No, we need to be thankful for it right now. And I'll be honest, there's some things that I'm thankful for that have happened in the past, right? There's certain things I've gone through in the past and that I wasn't thankful for them now, but I can see it. I wasn't thankful for it then, I should say, but now I see it. You know what I'm talking about? And now I can be thankful. And number one, I want to challenge you about three areas today, if you're counting points today. Thankful for the difficult things in life that maybe you wouldn't think about giving thankfulness for these areas, but we need to give thanks because they come from God. And number one area is this, to be thankful for trials. To be thankful for trials. I never look forward to trials. I'm never excited about trials coming. I'm never happy they're there, but trials come from God. Right, church? Trials, they come from God. I don't like the trials. I like the smooth sailing, don't you? I like it smooth and easy. I like it going good. I don't like the car breaking down and things leaking water. And I don't like the extra bill. I don't like all that stuff. I don't enjoy that. I don't look at it and go, yay, I get another house project to do of something that's falling apart. Because as soon as you fix one thing, what happens? Something else breaks and you give your attention to this. And by the time you're all done, you go back here and you go fix this again because you probably didn't fix it right the first time. You should have called to get help with it, and so now you're doing it right now. The trials. I'm not always excited about the trials, but I know they come from God. If you'd like to quickly turn there, James chapter 1 and verse number 2 through 4. James chapter 1 and verse 2 through 4. We have time, don't we? James chapter 1 and verse number 2. Trials. Not something that gets you excited today, but there are things that we need in our life. In the book of Job, Job says this, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as what, church? As gold. The gold only comes after the trials, not before that processing, that trial, purification time. In James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all. What's the next word? Joy. Now, the word before that is all. Okay, look at that for a minute as well. Every word of God is placed there for a reason. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Talking about trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The Bible says when trials come your way, to count it all joy. Do you have a hard time smiling during certain trials of life? And you're like, oh, Lord, help me not to say something I shouldn't. Help me not to act like something I shouldn't. Lord, I know I should trust you, but man, I'm not excited about this trial right now. The Bible says to count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. We know that everything that comes into our life comes through the hand of God. That's why we can be thankful for the trials that come our way. Again, I can't tell you how many times I've been thankful in the trial. As we should. In everything, give thanks. But looking back at trials in my past, in my life, I can look back and I can now say, thank you for that trial. Now I understand. Now I know, God, why you brought that my way to my life, to my family. And now I can give thanks for it. I know you and I, probably the same, need to be better about giving thanks in the trial. Counting it joy. Thank you, God, for the trial and saying, God, I don't know why you're doing it. We don't need to have all our questions answered by God, do we? No, we don't. God doesn't owe that to us. And you say, God, if I know why, then I'll thank you for it. No, God knows the why, doesn't he? God knows the why. And when God is bringing it into my life, and you stop and say, God, you must have brought this for a reason, so thank you for it. Thank you for it. When you go through battles in life, and when you go through health battles, and you say, thank you, God, I didn't ask for it, I didn't want it, but thank you, God, because you must be doing something in and through my life. Thank you, God, for the extra bills, said nobody, if we're honest. Thank you, God, because you must want to provide for this extra bill that I didn't expect, right? Thank you, God, for the family difficulty, and not for sin or wrong, but thank you for a struggle because I must need to draw closer to you in and through this trial. And God, I want to say thank you in the trial. I want to say thank you in the midst of the difficulty. Why? Knowing this, trials help you to grow. They do. When he hath tried me, I shall, future tense, come forth as gold. You're in the midst of a trial right now. Can you really say thank you, God, for the trial? Thank you, God, for the difficulty. Remember what you don't say in a trial. It could never get worse. You don't say that because it could always get worse. Thank God it helps you to grow. Trials help you to grow, but also trials help you to trust in God. If we never had trials, would we really have faith in God? If we never had to come to God with a need, with a lack, with a want, with a struggle, would we truly have faith in God as we should? No, we wouldn't. But when you get through the trial and you say, God, I need you right now. God, help me. And God provides, and you say, thank you, God, for being so good. So God helps you to get through that trial. Trials don't come in your life because God wants to hurt you, because God wants something bad for you. He wants to help you to grow in your life. Trials can be a blessing if you see them the right way. They can be a blessing if you see the trials the right way. You say, God, how could you use this for your good and your glory? All things work together for what? For good. Some things work together for good. Is that what it was saying there? No, I think it said all things work together for good. To them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Trials come into your life, they're for good. Now, trials aren't an effect of sin, all right? That's correction that comes from God. We'll get there in the next point. But thank God for the trials that come in your life. Say, thank you, God, for the struggles. Thank you for the difficulties. I didn't ask for them. I didn't want them. But thank you, God, because I must need it in my life. Thank God for the difficult things in life, first of all, for the trials. Thanking God, number two, for correction. Thanking God for correction that we need in our life. In Hebrews chapter 12, if you'd like to turn there, you may. Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to listen, that's fine. Hebrews 12, verse number 5 and 6. We'll go quickly through these verses if you'd like to turn there. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 5, and it says this, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as my children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." You ever despise correction? Oh, yeah. Why didn't you pull them over, right? Why didn't you catch my friend in school? They were throwing paper around as well. And you got corrected and you're like, ooh. And the injustice of it all. And you get angry about it. The Bible says here in the next verse, "For whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. And he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." So when I receive correction, it's just a sign that I'm a child of God. It's a sign that God loves me. And when you get corrected, children, realize that's a sign that God loves you, that God is caring for you. He's trying to point you in the right direction. Have you ever heard a child that has just been corrected and they got bent over their parents' knee and they got spanked biblically and right? And it is biblical and right to correct a child in that manner. All right. Have you ever seen a child that has been spanked by their parent and they turned around and they said, "Mom and Dad, thank you for spanking me. Thank you for correcting me. I needed this in my life. You're so wonderful." You don't say that at the time, do you? No, not a single kid has ever said that. If you are, you must have problems, all right? But look at verse number 11. It says this in this passage, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." It doesn't seem to be joyous. I'm not like, ha, 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 I'm getting in trouble. If you so, you're now getting in more trouble. Yeah. Just so you know that. It's not a time to laugh. But it's grievous. "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." See, at the time, it doesn't seem to be joyous. But afterwards, let me show you the afterwards, teenagers, children in the room. I didn't love it then, but I'm thankful now that I was corrected as a child. I'm thankful now that I had parents that I know you don't cross the line or else. That taught you biblically and right to be honest and to love people and to treat your family, right? All the things that my parents taught me, I'm thankful for that, and they corrected me when I did wrong. At the time, I didn't love it, but now I'm thankful for it. Thankful for correction. Again, I've never heard anyone say, thank you, officer, for giving me a ticket. You must have spared me from something bad. But the correction is there for a reason in your life. Correction is the correct wrong, right? Correction is the correct sin when we get on the wrong track so that God can help us to put us back on the right track in our life. Again, no one loves the correction part, but aren't you thankful that when you were going the wrong direction, that God corrected you and put you back on the right path? Amen? I'm thankful that God's mercy and grace, that God loves me enough to tell me when I've done wrong and to correct me and put me back on the right track in my life. And so I can truly say this, I'm thankful for correction in my life. Can you say that today? I'm thankful for people correcting me. Now, no one loves someone getting in your face and saying, you messed up and you did wrong and you better straighten up. No one loves that. And if I did that to you, what would your flesh do inside? You're like, who do you think you are right now? Every one of us would do that, right? But if we're in the wrong, that's what we need, right? I need correction in my life. We have a generation today that's growing up without correction. Nothing is bad. It just wasn't the best choice. What is that garbage, right? The Bible calls out sin. The sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. There's punishment to sin. We need to hear, our kids need to hear, that was bad, that was wrong, you're a sinner. All right? Now, don't hold them over the fire every time. Parents have some wisdom with that. But they need real biblical love and correction. And so do we. Are you thankful for correction that's come in your life? Thankful for trials? And then thirdly and lastly today is this, thankful for the lack of things in my life. In Philippians chapter 4, we were there a moment ago, and you'll see what we're talking about here. In Philippians chapter 4, let me ask you this. Do you get everything in your life that you want? No. Do you even get most of the things that you want? Maybe you get some of the things that you want. You're like, if I had a wish list, we don't always do this, but the girls got a magazine in there, and they're looking at things for Christmas, you know, just fun. We got it in the mail, and so they're circling things. You know what they're circling? Everything. Every single thing is circled in the book. I said, girls, if you circle everything, I don't really know what you want, and you're not going to get anything. No, I don't tell them that. But they're like, I want everything. But you know what? Everything isn't good for us, is it? All the things that you want and I want, they're not good for me. And you know what? Sometimes the best thing in our life are the things that we don't have that we really want. And maybe even things that are good and not ungodly, but a lack in our lives. In Philippians 4, verse 11, it says this, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be, what? Content. Not with everything that he wanted, but with everything that he had. In verse number 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in what? All things. There it is again. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. See, Paul learned in his life that you're not just content and happy when you have everything, but you're content in your life when you're happy with things you do have. The Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. You say, well, if I had this, then I'd be happy. If I had all these things, then I'd be thankful. No, you have everything that God wants you to have right now. Amen? And if there's something that God wants you to have and you believe God wants you to have it, pray for it. And pray for God's will to be done. God, if it's your will to give me this, thank you for it. But if not, thank you for it also. Right? Thank you if you give it to me and thank you if you don't, because that must be the will of God for your life, to have it or to be without it. In 1 Peter 1, 6 through 8, I'll just read it. It says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Again, too many times we think, well, if I get all the things I want, then I'll be thankful, then I'll be happy. No, you won't. No, you won't. If we ordered everything in the Christmas catalog and got everything shipped to our house, would the children be happy? And they'd say, I won't want anything else. You know what they would want? Whatever their sister wanted, right? Whatever someone else has. because that's how it happens for children and for us. God, thank you for this once you get it. And what do you do as soon as you get it? Oh, look at that. I have to give an illustration. I didn't mean to, but I got a truck, not new, but newer truck to me, and the transmission already went out. It's already been replaced. It's already have it back, praise the Lord. But I got my truck, and my wife says, are you going to miss your truck when it's gone? I said, yes, I'm going to miss my truck when it's gone. You don't understand that if you're not a man, okay? And it was like a week and a half. But they gave me a loaner vehicle, and it was newer and nicer. That's dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like heated steering wheel. I'm like, oh, I like this. And I was like, oh, man, now it's going to be taking a step back later on. And I think the Lord was testing me. Are you still going to be thankful when you don't have all the things? Why? Because once you get the new thing, what do you want? Well, I want another new thing, right? Because the devil doesn't want you content. He always wants you wanting more. Right? Being thankful for what God has given to you. Understand that everything that you have comes from the hand of God. It's easy to be thankful for the good things, right? When it's all pie and ice cream. Amen to that. When it's all the good things in life that you want and you love. But what about when it's the things that you don't want? Do you throw a fit? Do you throw a temper tantrum? And you stomp around and scream because you didn't get it all the way that you wanted to? And I'm not talking to children, I'm talking about us as well. Because we get there as well, don't we? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I love the good things in life. Yes, I do. But also, we need to be thankful for the difficult things in life that God knows is best for us. If all we had was all of our wants and wishes desired all the time, we'd be selfish, spoiled people all the time. It makes you appreciate the good things. It makes you appreciate the difficult things in life as well, realizing that God works all things together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Do you see it the way that God sees it? In the time of Job's trial, I don't know how you could look at your children's graves and say, thank you, God, for this. Job didn't see the end, right? He didn't see how God was going to turn it out. But in the midst of the trial, in the midst of his difficulty, he said, God, thank you for what you're about to do as well. He didn't see it then, but he knew he served a great and a loving God that never makes a mistake and has never done wrong, has never failed us once yet, Christian, has he? I said, he's never failed us once yet, has he, Christian? He's never failed us once. And even in the trial, say, God, I know you're going to work it out for good because you're a loving God. You're good. Not always good to my liking and my choices, but according to God's choices and how He deems that good in our life. Instead of pouting, throwing a fit, and being selfish and walking away from God when things get difficult, just say, God, I thank you for what you're doing and what you're about to do in my life, and being thankful in everything. Head bowed and eyes closed. Let's pray. Lord, help us as a church today to be thankful for everything.